This is On the Mark, and pleased to have NHL Stanley Cup champion Brian Bickell in studio today. Retired now and segueing into the next part of your life. But let's talk some hockey to start here. When you're looking back on your career, I would think that winning the cup in Chicago, two cups in Chicago, was the highlight. Any one particular moment that you think about when the head hits the pillow at night?
Yeah, there's a lot of good moments. You know, obviously, you know, getting drafted by Chicago in 04, getting drafted, you know, being in your first game, scoring, lucky enough to win a couple championships, and being part of, you know, a historic team, and, you know, the city and the way where it was when I got drafted to where, you know, where it is now, it's crazy.
It is nuts. I mean, when you were drafted, the Blackhawks, well, and when I was growing up back in the day, it was the Hawks were the thing, and then they weren't, because it was just a huge period, as you know, where they were down, and then it became the Blackhawks were the most popular team in Chicago, and you're talking about a great sports city with Cubs and the Bears and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to see that and be a part of it had to be enormously cool.
It was awesome. You can kind of see, obviously, you know, helps winning. you know, it was a low port, but it was a rebuilding stage, I think. You know, from Taves and Kane when they came in, and it just got better and better every year. And you know, we won a couple cups on the way. And I know they're not done. I'm looking forward to it. Now I'm newly retired. I'm just going to be a fan watching you know, my friends you know, battle out there.
I'm always curious for guys that make it to the top like you did. When were you, as a kid, did you start to realize that, oh, I've got kind of a unique talent, and then, oh, if I really work hard, I can advance myself to levels that I never thought possible, and then, oh my God, I'm on the ice in the NHL.
Yeah, obviously being from Canada, that was everyone's kid's dream, is right, to play in the NHL. When I realized where, you know, it might be in something, I think when I moved away from home, when I was 16, lived in a big city. I was from a small town of 800 and moved to a town of, you know, 800,000. It was overwhelming, but, you know, adjusted, and then I got drafted, and you know, there was some ups and downs in my first couple of years if I was ever going to make the NHL, and hard work paid off, and you know, history is history. I couldn't take anything back. It was a good run, you know, in a short amount of time, but you know, things happen for a reason.
Yeah, and we'll get to what you're doing now in a second. But I'm like, so who was the biggest driver when you were a 12-year-old Brian Bickell, saying, hey man, get to that ice, work the extra shifts, all this? I mean, was your dad the guy? Was there a special coach or anything like that?
No, it was definitely my parents. You know, I have an older sister. You know, if it wasn't for my parents taking me to practices every five times a week, taking me to tournaments on weekends, my sister kind of got left in the back burners, which is unfortunate, but you know, they're just a dedicated hockey parent that, you know, wanted to see their kids succeed. And, you know, it wasn't for my parents for the younger times that to push me and to get me where I am now.
Were you a brat, or were you a grateful kid? Thank you for taking me to the rink today.
I was a good kid. I was a quiet kid. You know, I liked to have fun, and I still like to have fun when I was on the ice. That's what I think kept me, you know, wanting more. You know, that's the biggest thing. I get to play hockey for a living and take every day and have fun.
So you had your biggest moments in the playoffs. I mean, your level would rise when the lights were the brightest. You're kind of like thinking about that right now. Does that, any particular reason, does that feel right to say? Because, I mean, you certainly in the 13 Cup run, I mean, you were right in the middle of all of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, playoff hockey kind of brings the best out of me. Obviously, there's, you know, 82 games in a season. You go through ups and downs and good games and bad. But, you know, every game in playoffs means something. And I kind of like the referees that put the whistles away. And it's more chippy, more physical. And that kind of brings out the best for my game. You know, I'm lucky to bang some goals in the playoffs and be a big part of some teams, and you know, it's part of my game.
I was talking with old Blackhawk Dennis Savard, who you know, Hall of Famer, the whole thing, and he would talk, you know, back in the 80s, late 70s, how he wouldn't sleep at night because he knew when he was getting on the ice going up against the old Minnesota North Stars or or anybody in the division that they were going to come after him.
Yeah,
and you know, he wasn't. You're a bigger guy. He wasn't. But I'm just curious, like, you know, could you, how would you go into a game, like, as far as your anxiety levels? Like, would you be able to sleep during the season, just knowing the intensity of what was about to happen? I mean, you guys, it's a crazy sport.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a really easy sleeper, thank God. But, you know, I don't think, I think about that. You kind of, when you get away from the rink, you kind of turn your brain off and not worry about those things. But when you get to the rink, you need to perform. You know, Dennis was a small guy, skilled guy. A guy had a bullseye on his back at times, because if he didn't, he would score. And, you know, for me, I was one of those guys that, you know, would have to finish him. You know, that's part of my game, to slow players down, open up ice for my teammates. And, yeah, it was a fun run.
Do you want it to stay the same as far as for the players going forward here, like the guys police the game themselves? Because there's always that discussion around hockey. Should we get rid of fighting? Is it bad for the game? Does it have a negative impact, you know, to the families who you're trying to bring into, as you're always trying to grow the sport?
No, I think fighting is always going to be in the game. I know there's going to be those enforcers where, you know, there's one guy that plays a couple minutes and he goes out there. I don't think they're going to have much of those players anymore. You need players. You need to have four lines. But also you need to hold players accountable when, you know, something happens on the ice. And I think through the players, they'll stand up. And, you know, hockey's always going to be fighting in the game.
It's harder, though, right, for the enforcers, though, on some level, because, you know, you're making more money now, but that also means if they suspend you for a period of games, you're giving up a lot of dough. And then, but you're also asked to go out there and protect, you know, Sidney Crosby or Patrick Kane or whoever. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like maybe there's a less of a will to want to, you know, be that guy, knowing that you could, you know, have a long suspension and lose a ton of dough. I mean, that all plays into it. This is real life.
It does. And, you know, again, it comes in the circumstances of what happens on the ice, what happens to your player. You know, obviously, if you don't want to do anything bad enough, you want to get suspended. But, you know, in respect, if the guy did something bad to, say, Sidney Crosby, and the guy knows it and stands up for himself and, you know, puts his, you know, what he did, and he understands. But if he doesn't, and then there's suspensions, that's in the hands of the player that's doing it. And, you know, that's why they're doing the suspension. So they kind of lean it off and not safety for the players.
Yeah. So you move on to Chicago, to Carolina. And then I guess maybe just take me through as you start feeling a little bit off and start seeing some doctors. Maybe just walk us through what was going on.
Yeah, getting traded in the summer to Raleigh, North Carolina, and you know, looking for a new start. Obviously, the last couple seasons in Chicago didn't go my way, but you know, looking for a fresh start. And I played, you know, almost like a handful of games, and then I had some symptoms and. I felt like I slept on my shoulder wrong. I thought I had like a pinched nerve, and then we just kind of looked at it as a pinched nerve, and then it went down my arm the week later, and then I was like, well, this is something, you know, different. Then it went down to my leg. So those are the symptoms I had leading into getting diagnosed. And then I had to, you know, pull myself off and get looked at because I knew something was different. I don't know how long it was going on for, but you know, those couple of weeks when those symptoms were, you know, acting the way they were, it was hard to play hockey, I tell you that.
Yeah. I would assume, you know, here you are, you know, prime of your career playing, you know, in the NHL, and yet you're not feeling right. This is something that you can't even remotely expect something like that to happen. I would assume it's got to be terrifying, no?
Yeah, it was obviously tough. Not every, you know, you don't see this every year. That's something that never comes really around. You know, I've been through a lot of injuries in my career, in different ones, from knees, shoulders, you know, concussions, and, you know, to go through that symptoms and then finding out the news was, you know, very tough. But you know, me and my wife, we wanted to look into it and turn a negative into a positive. You know, I didn't know I was going to play hockey again after getting diagnosed, but then, you know, months and days afterwards and battling and to get back on the ice and to finish off and on top was what we wanted.
Yeah, you score a goal in your final game, and, you know, I'll be honest, I got emotional just watching you in when they were interviewing you after, how much it meant to you to, you know, have that last moment and knowing that, you know, hey, you know, I'm not going to be playing anymore. And what it meant to you, just to, you know, the whole, to have a career in the NHL.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was tough a couple of weeks leading into that game. I know you know, lacing up the skates for the last time. A lot of memories go through your head for all the people that help you out, for all the memories that you know, you build through the years. I played 10 years of, you know, pro hockey, and from the ups and downs, and to lace them up, and then, you know, seeing the Philly fans, you know, cheering for me, which was, you know, they don't usually cheer for away teams, but and then, you know, scoring the shootout for the last goal, I can now say that I do have a better shooting percentage than Taves and Kane in the shootout. So
that's awesome. Yeah. You should let them know about that.
Yeah,
you know,
I have been.
There you go. So you move on from the career, and now you're doing a ton of stuff. You're I thought it was you and your wife Amanda. You're involved with MS for you're having dogs to take care. You can maybe explain that a little bit, how that came about.
Yeah, so we opened our foundation about 6-7 years ago in Chicago. We have a little Staffordshire Terrier, which is a small pit bull breed dog. And we came to Chicago when we realized the issue here. So we, you know, started a foundation to help awareness for these dogs, rescue them, getting the proper training, their doctor bills paid for, and, you know, find them forever homes. And then years later, we worked with the HESPA house on the south side for abused kids, kind of relate these dogs were abused, these kids were abused, and working that way and get a relationship between them to realize. And then just a couple of days ago, we released a new program, service dogs for MS people. Get these dogs, get them trained, and we just gave our first dog to a family in Florida, family of six. We need to obviously get the dog trained. It's going to take, you know, almost the course of a year, but all cost under our foundation. And, you know, we're looking forward to help out people.
Who gets the most credit for the foundation here? Is it yourself? You can feel free to puff out the chest, or does Amanda kind of the driving force?
She is the driving force. Yeah. You know, she's the one answering all the emails and doing all that, the research behind it. I could say I'm just the pretty face behind it, but I like to help out as much as I can. But, you know, we put our name behind it, and we're just happy to help dogs and people now at the same time.
Yeah, the dog thing, you know, way back in the day has always been, you know, front and center for you. I'm curious, like, how that developed, where that love comes from. And I love.
Yeah, so, you know, we registered our dog 12 years ago, and then shortly after, we're from Ontario, Canada, and then the ban came, and fortunately, we could keep our dog, but now the ban is, you know, if you have a pit bull breed dog, you have to ship them out. So we, obviously, it's close to home to us, and coming here, seeing the issue, we wanted to help them out because they are a big misunderstood dog, a loyal, friendly, family dog that a lot of people take advantage of.
Yeah, you know, the whole misunderstood thing, I think, can ring true for real broad spectrum there.
Yeah.
And so you're working with Biogen too, as we're building the health up here.
Yeah. So we partnered up with Biogen, say 4 months ago, you know, helping spread the word. You kind of look at my story, what I've been through the last, you know, 6-7 months, inspired a lot of people. I know, you know, my story can help out other people, not just in MS, just in real life, to never kind of never give up and push forward. And, you know, I'm happy to, you know, partner up them and spread my story to hopefully help out, you know, other people.
Right. And so, like, what's a day like for you now? How is it different from, you know, I don't know, 3-4 years ago?
It's
outside of not playing.
Yeah, it's actually a little different. You know, I got two kids under the age of three. You know, usually, you know, times I go to the gym or go to the rink and do that stuff. But now I'm you know, staying home dad and enjoying my kids and seeing them grow. It's definitely, you know, cool, but it's a little different from what I'm used to, and I just need to adjust to it. And I'm helping out the wife quite a bit, and you know, I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun and seeing them grow.
You know, I've talked to a ton of your former teammates who, you know, have transitioned out of the game as well. And it just seems like a huge challenge, because here you are, you've got all this adrenaline going out and playing, and you have a whole routine of life, right? The season's coming around, you're getting ready for the season. And then it's just not there. I mean, that's and it's for anyone. I mean, you know, from Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter, whatever, Wayne Gretzky, everybody's got to figure out their life after playing.
Yeah.
But you can't duplicate playing, right?
No, you can't. I know that time hasn't came yet where, you know, I'll be getting ready to, you know, hop in the car and come to whatever city I'm playing in. But, you know, it's going to be tough. I know the, you know, being around the guys, being in the locker room and doing all that stuff that you've done my whole life, it's I think I'm going to miss that part. But at the new part, there's a, you know, a next step that I don't know where it's going to take, you know, to be around the family and enjoy their time and see my girls grow is the most important, and, you know, worry about my health.
Yeah, well, it's super cool that you're, you know, the attitude that you're bringing to it and inspiring people. And I mean, I've heard you on the radio. Great to have you in here. And people are joining you, man. It's just cool. And I think you're inspiring a ton of people. I hope you're kind of getting that's going on.
Yeah, it's, you know, I thought this retirement life is going to be a lot relaxing, but I've been busy and enjoying, you know, helping, you know, all our people, all our foundations and doing things like that. And that's what, you know, me and my wife enjoyed to give back to the community. And I know we'll be doing it more going forward.
Anybody can knock off the Penguins here? Or is this run going to continue?
I don't know. Three-peat's kind of tough to do. I know a back-to-back is really tough. We were close, but you know, they're a good team. They got some good young players coming in. You know, I don't want to see them to do it, but you never know. Everyone starts at zero next year. The Blackhawks can do it, and anybody can do it.
Make you commissioner for one day. Gary Bettman just rung the phone line and said, Bickle, you can make one improvement to the game, make one adjustment. Is there anything that jumps out that you would do?
Improvement to the game.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think, you know, the way the leagues are going, I think the team going in Vegas is a big cool thing. I know I was there for the awards. There's a lot of hype behind it. I'm going to enjoy that. I know there's some other cities that, you know, could hold the team. I know there's certain cities that are on the bubble, but I wouldn't change anything. The game is fast and the fans love it. There's a lot of scoring. The fighting is not there, but, you know, that's the way it is now.
You play in Las Vegas, you're going to have a salary at the end of the year?
Yeah, I don't know. They decided maybe pay you in chips, but no, that's going to be good. I know there's the strip, and I've been to Vegas a lot, and yeah, I would enjoy it down there for sure if I had an opportunity. There's always a life after the strip, but yeah. You know, they bring a lot of fans, a lot of weight teams fans into the building. I know it's going to be exciting for them.
Well, Brian, great to see you. Congrats on the work with Biogen and what you're doing with everything for MS. It's just fantastic. And congrats on a great career, Stanley Cup champion, and we really appreciate you coming in.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.